Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Finolex Cables Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Perfect Relations Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Mamta Samat from Perfect Relations Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Neerav. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Finolex Cables Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Mahesh Viswanathan, Deputy CEO and Chief Financial Officer from Finolex Cables. Before we begin, I would like to say that some of the statements that will be made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature. We will begin the call with the opening remarks from the management, after which we will have the forum open for the interactive Q&A session. I will now request Mr. Mahesh Viswanathan for the opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
I hope I'm audible and clear. So, good evening. Welcome to this call from Finolex Cables Limited. Thanks to all the participants for attending now. Let me start by a few quick remarks, and then afterwards I will take questions. So, we had a bit of a difficult quarter. We started the quarter with A, high inventories, and B, inventories which were procured when copper was also very high in terms of value. So, the first couple of months were spent more in ensuring that the stocks got liquidated both at our end as well as at the trade end, which obviously had its impact on margins. We had to take a few price cuts during the quarter because while we were trying to do the liquidation, copper also was consistently falling. So, just to give some numbers, average copper at the LME was about 10,130 in May, which dropped to 9,641 in June, 9,394 in July, 8,963 in August. So, right through the middle of August, there were situations where copper was continuously declining, and we had to keep adjusting our selling prices accordingly. There was some kind of a revival towards the end of September, and in fact, on the 29th of September, we revised our prices upwards for the first time after 4 months. The trend has been quite volatile as far as copper is concerned during the last seven, 8 months. As we speak today, copper has dropped below 9,000 again. So, that volatility plays on the pull from the market and impacts volumes. And when the volatility is fairly sharp, like it happened at the end of first quarter, it also impacts margins. But I believe that as far as the margin corrections are concerned, the worst is behind us, and we should be more stable from now onwards. While that was the position as far as copper is concerned, overall, as a company, revenue in the quarter improved to 1,312 crores, which is 7% higher than the immediately preceding quarter and 10% higher than the corresponding quarter of last year. As I mentioned earlier, margins did take a hit. We dropped approximately 4 percentage points compared to the comparable quarter of last year and about 1.5 percentage points compared to the immediately preceding quarter. Barring this aberration, I think volumes were steady given the environment in which we were working during this quarter. Electrical cables, I think, should start showing some sense of recovery from now onwards. On the communication cables part, we had lower realizations both on the metal-based cables because copper was falling, and also on the fiber side, while volume was substantially high, quarter on quarter the volume was up almost by 50%, but values realized were had dropped. Fiber prices have been coming down over the last 2 years. So again, to give some reference points, what used to be $4 per kilometer 2 years ago is now $2.6, $2.7 per kilometer landed in India. So there is a substantial reduction in the realization of fiber. I think as the consumption of fiber picks up across the globe, we should expect to see this coming back to normal levels probably over the next 6 to 8 months. The opportunities on the fiber side still continue to be exciting. BSNL's tender was, those bids which were submitted early in August were opened last week, this week, and our partners have placed L1 on certain bids. So once the orders are released, then we will know exactly how and in what periods our revenues will change. I expect that the ordering from BSNL to the bid winners will happen sometime towards the latter part of this quarter, and supplies will commence probably around February or March. Besides this, there are also opportunities on the 5G rollouts as well as data center requirements, but those are kind of somewhat a little long term in nature. Other products have done reasonably well. Values have climbed, and I think we are on track to hit 300 crores this year. We did about 228 or 230 last year. We should be looking closer to 300 this year. Like I've always mentioned, break-even should be around 250 to 260. So this year we should have that in hand. Okay. The last comment I would like to make is on the CapEx portion. We had quite a few items lined up, of which the major ones were on the e-beam facility. That is now complete, and we are expecting BIS clearances, BIS certifications anytime now. So revenues from this investment should start flowing in from the anytime now. Preform, the installation is installation of the equipment is to commence in the next 2 to 3 weeks. The engineers from the manufacturer are expected here in the next 1 week or 10 days, and then they should commence the installation. We expect commissioning by end of quarter 4 and production to be available from then onwards. The other major part was the expansion of the auto cable lines in Roorkee. The equipments have reached and are under commissioning, so we expect all that to happen and get completed by end of December. So these are the three major parts of the CapEx portion which were underway. All of them should be then closed by end of this fiscal. What remains is the expansion of the fiber draw capacity from 4 million to 6 million. The orders for the equipment have been placed. I think they should arrive somewhere around May or June. And then the commissioning will start from there onwards. So that's on the CapEx portion. So again, to recapitulate, slightly difficult quarter with margins getting impacted. But I think, as I said before, I believe that the worst is behind us, and we should see return to normalcy soon. I am now open for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. First question is from the line of Sonali from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is with regards to the BharatNet that you just spoke about in your opening remarks and the BSNL order. So you're saying your partner...
Sonali, you're not audible. Can you speak a little louder, please?
Yes. Is this better? Is this better?
Yeah, it is better. It's better.
Yes. So my first question is regarding to the BharatNet or the BSNL order. You said that your partners have received it. Any more color you would like to give us in the sense what is the quantum of the order wherein you slash your partners have been anointed as the L1 bidder? Which regions, what's the normal terms of the contract, and who is the partner of yours in this BSNL?
Okay, so the bids have been opened in the last 2 days. So in terms of the contract values and so on and so forth, it is still too early to say any numbers. So we had an understanding with one of the bidders that they would use our cables, and they have won, I think, 3 of the bids that they participated in. At this moment, I wouldn't want to, you know, name those people. Let that process get completed. I think it's a little too early to talk about numbers and values at this point.
Okay, got it, sir. So my second question is with regards to the electrical wires. So the volume growth has been a bit of, you know, muted at 2% this quarter. We are a good brand. Could you help us understand about the current demand scenario? Even last quarter, I think the volume growth was in single digit, if I'm not mistaken.
It has been muted over the last 6-8 months. Part of the reason, I think, is if you look at the commodity price volatility, it's becoming a little bit difficult to differentiate between what demand is speculation-led and what demand is actually consumption-led. So it kind of gets, one gets fused in the other, and especially in the first part of the year, March, April, and maybe a couple of weeks of May, copper was climbing pretty rapidly. So from 8,500 in the beginning of the year, it went up to almost 11,000. So there were multiple price increases that were announced, and immediately after the announcement, while you announce it today, the effect of that announcement happens after a week, let's say. In that interim period, a lot of pull happened. Obviously, that was substantially speculative. I mean, you buy today at today's price and you expect to sell it at a higher price a little later. But then there was this very sharp correction from the middle of May. From 11,000, it went down to almost 8,200, 8,300. So that put the brakes on any further buying from the trade, and that continued all the way through August. So yes, it has been muted, but there has been some pre-buying, let us use that word, and then later on it has got consumed over the last 4 to 6 months period. I think that volatility is also changing the consumer, the trade behavior to some extent.
Got it. So is it correct in understanding that there was destocking in the channels due to sharp correction in the copper prices from 11,000 to 8,000 till mid of August? And after that, have the channels started restocking that? Do you see demand normalization right now as we speak?
Yeah, so as I speak, that's what I in my opening remarks, I said by the end of September, the average had climbed back to 9,250. But that's the average, so spot prices could have been also 9,700, 9,600. But then again, as we speak today, spot prices have gone below 9,000. It's about 8,800 or 8,900 today. So the swings have been fairly high, and the swings have not had a very large period of stability in between. So the peaks and valleys have been pretty sharp, and I do not know how that will continue to impact consumption going forwards.
Understood. So would you like to quantify the inventory loss this quarter because
we are back, our inventory now is back to more or less similar levels as where we were last year September, and very close to this year March. March we closed at 570 crores, I think, in terms of value, and September we were at 610 or something like that. Yeah, 604.
Understood.
Not very far away from that number. And in terms of number of days also, we are back to normal. At the end of March, we were, I think, 52 days, all inventory put together. We are back to the same level now.
Understood. So would you could you quantify the price cuts that you have taken in Q2?
There were three corrections, all totaling to about 11%, I think.
And since then it's been steady, is it?
Since then we had one price increase in September, on the last day of September. That was 2% or so. And now we'll have to wait and watch because the last 1 week LME has been dipping.
Got it. So structurally, do you foresee housing and CapEx cycles to remain strong? Are you seeing some kind of a slowdown in these two broader cycles, or are you seeing them quite steady across?
I think they are steady. I think they are
steady,
but what impacts the numbers is the kind of volatility that we've been seeing. So that kind of distorts the picture to a large extent.
Understood. So largely this impact was because of copper volatility.
Yes.
And competition-wise?
There is a little bit of a mix change as well. There has been more project-based selling as opposed to pure retail selling. That also has had a slight impact on the margins. Not much, but definitely there.
So generally, our project-based selling is about 20, was about B2B was 25%. Was it, what is it this quarter?
No, when I say project-based, the channel is the same, but we know that certain products are picked up by electricians and certain products are picked up by contractors because they like longer lengths. So the longer lengths have sold more in quantity as opposed to the standard 90-meter boxes. So
Got
that,
it.
that, and the longer lengths, because it goes to the building segment directly, the pricing is a little finer than what is sold through the retail outlets.
Got it. So do you expect the margins to revert back to your steady state 11-12% in the coming quarter, or do you foresee this kind of mix change or volatility-based, pricing to continue to impact margins?
If the volatility continues, then getting back to 12% might take a little longer. That's about it. It will eventually go there, but the journey might be a little longer.
Got it. And just one last question on the mix change part within the electrical cables. autos, construction, etc., has there been any material change in these sub-segments for you as well?
No material change except for certain season-dictated stuff. So, for example, typically in quarter two, the agricultural applications are lower in volume because rains are there and water tables are not where you need to use large numbers of, I mean, large quantities of wires to pull the or to pump the water out. But other than that, no change.
Got it. So thank you for answering all these questions and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Sriram R, individual investor. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, what is the market share?
Sriram, can I request you to speak through the handset?
Sorry. So what is the market share for us in the wire segment alone? And if you can give some update on the pending litigation, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Market share on an annualized basis is what I can talk about because on a monthly or a quarterly basis, that number is a little misleading. At an annual basis, and again, if I take last year's number, our wire revenue was somewhere around 4,200 or 4,300 crores out of a total wire market size of about 25,000 crores. So slightly over, slightly under 20% at that level. That's what it would be. Individual product lines might be different. Auto would be different. Agri would be different, and so on. But overall, wires would be around 18 to 20%. Your second question was on the pending litigations. Other than what you might have seen in the public domain, I have nothing additional to add there. There was one matter before the NCLAT which was disposed of, and directions given to the NCLT to decide on the matter that is before them within a period of time. And what is that matter between in front of the NCLT is basically who holds ownership of the disputed shares in Orbit, and therefore who gets control over all the entities. So that basic question is still to be answered, and NCLAT has given directions to NCLT to hear that matter and dispose it off quickly. Beyond that, there is nothing much that I can add, or there is nothing much that the company or I know about.
Okay, that's helpful, sir. I mean, in terms of market share, compared to now when you said 20%, FY24, so maybe 2-3 years back, how much was it? I mean, I'm just trying to understand, have we maintained our market share at least for the last couple of years?
I think in the last 2-3 years, we've been more or less steady. Maybe 1% here or there would have been different, but I think it's been more or less steady.
Okay, that's great. That's helpful. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, is it possible to get, the capacity what we have as of now for the electrical cables and wires put together? And what is the expansion or what kind of expansion are we seeing over the next 2-3 years?
We have, if I use a standard product, then I can, I mean, if I use that standard 90-meter box as the unit of measurement, then we have the capacity to make approximately 23-24 lakh coils per month. Utilization is around slightly over 65% at this point in time. Now, this is on the standard wire. Then, of course, there are additional capacities for auto cables and for agricultural applications. Auto is more or less 80% occupied. Agriculture is slightly seasonal, so last quarter was not much of an occupancy, because once you have the range, then that particular product line, the demand is not very high. It is only maintenance requirements that are there. But overall, at a company level, our utilization of the wire assets would be somewhere around 65% to 70% in between.
Right. And if you could talk the split, let's say FY24 split. So you mentioned about wires, about 4,200 crores, right? But does that also include the auto and agri cables, or it's purely
wires? No, I'm excluding that.
Only wires, right?
Right.
Okay, understood. And, with respect to the industry capacity, any similar number you have for the industry as a whole, for wires and also for cable?
No, it's difficult. I mean, there is some information available with EMA, IEEEMA, that is the Industry Trade Association. But it all depends on how transparent everybody is in terms of sharing their data. Long before, maybe before 2014 or 13, MCA used to mandate that you declare the capacities and therefore also what levels you're operating at. That requirement was removed at that point in time, and since then you only have to rely on what is published by EMA.
Right, understood. Second question I had, with respect to the while the copper prices have been volatile, if you could help us understand, because we see that the others like the market leader and a couple of others have actually shown a 20% plus kind of a volume growth in wires.
Everybody reports consolidated numbers. What you see is a number that is reported that includes wires, cables, everything. The total market, the segment reporting is only at electrical cables level. And so some of our peers have a much larger exposure to the cable market, whereas we do not.
They have mentioned, sir, in the earnings calls, they have talked about Polycab has talked about 24-25% volume growth in wires. So is the case with KEI 20% plus. So is the case with Havells. Wires growth was very strong. In fact, that is the reason the margins got impacted, etc. So I'm just curious, is there any basic difference in terms of sourcing or hedging of copper for us vis-a-vis the industry or these key players? Is there any difference?
I cannot comment on how they hedge or what protection measures they take or don't take. I know what we do. We buy on month averages. And I think I've explained this in earlier calls also. We buy on month averages. We don't take long calls.
So,
for cash flow purposes, we have an understanding with the supplier as to what would be the provisional price that we will pay. And later on at the end of the month, we settle difference. And just to correct you in your thing, just now I'm looking at, for example, KEI. They have reported a 9% increase in revenue, not in quantity, in wire, and
right.
24% increase in cables. Now, if I go to Polycab again, they have, where is Polycab? Cable and wire, cable revenue is up 24%. EBIT margin at 12.3, down 231 basis points. So everyone has had an issue on the wire side this year. Cable, yes, they've all improved more. And our participation in the overall cable market is very small. Out of the market size of approximately 25,000 crores, we do a business of less than 200. So that skews the presentation a little bit.
Right. I was more talking from a volume growth perspective, which they talked about in the earnings call. But I'll take that offline, sir.
Okay.
So you said 25,000 crore is the power cables market size. Is that so?
Yeah, yeah, power and control cables. So that includes all voltage grades above 11 all the way to, 6 above all the way to 500.
Right. And our revenue in that particular segment is just 200 crores.
Yeah, yeah. It's slightly more, but I think 200 from this entity and about 200 from the JV.
Right, so about 400 crores total.
Yeah.
Understood. Any plans to add capacity in this particular power cable side? How do you see the situation? Do you see this getting slowed down, or this is very much steady or strong?
No, it is rather, it's a strong scenario. I don't see demand coming down there, but it is tender driven, L1 based business, and a significant percentage of the customers are power utilities. Most of them being belonging to the distribution side. So risks that are there are towards collection, timing of collection. So you will find that many of my peers have that impact visible on their DSO. I have a DSO of, I think, 14 days or 15 days. Typically, you will find most of them having DSOs of 60, 70 days. Some of them even longer than that. So it's a different environment, and some of the practices are not something that we are very comfortable with. So, you know, on the call, this is all I can say.
Fair point, sir. That's very helpful, sir. Just last question, if I may, with respect to the communication cables. If you look at the segment margin, it's, EBIT level, it's about 2-3% for last couple of years.
Correct.
Now, one of the reason is the price correction, what you've highlighted. For this particular BharatNet DSNL orders, is it fair to say that the margins will be similar, or they could be materially different, or at the company level average for these orders?
It should be better than what we have today. The numbers that you see today at 2-2.5% are the result of two things. One is the price realization that has been there for the last couple of years. And the second is also the fact that volumes have not changed. This quarter was good, but otherwise volumes had not moved substantially over the last year and a half. The reason for that is government, which is a very large customer in this area, did not have any procurement over the last year and a half. And normally they account for about 60% of the buy during this in this segment. So utilization of assets was also low, and fixed cost absorption was therefore affected. And that impacted margins, of course. But once the procurement from the government side starts and volumes start moving up, then this too will definitely start climbing back. It will take a little bit of time before it reaches the historical averages. We used to average around 7-8% in the past. For that to happen will take a little bit of time, but it should start climbing.
And what is the execution period for, or supply period for these cables, sir?
The BSNL tender, this current tender that we are talking about is 3 years post ordering, and then followed by a 7-year period of maintenance subsequently.
And typically, what would that split be? Let's say if it is a 100 rupee order, how much would be the cable, communication cable supply part of it?
Cable, our estimate is about 10%.
10%.
Yeah, it might differ in certain, some of those, there were 16 packages. So on the average, it would be around 10%. Individual packages might differ between, it might be between 9 and 11.
Oh, it is that narrow difference. Okay, understand.
Yeah, because you have, it's not just cable supply, it is erection involved. There is lots of...
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay connected while we rejoin the management back to the call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the management reconnected. Achal, would you like to guide, sir, where the line dropped?
So you were talking about this is just not the supply, and after that it got disconnected, sir.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Let me repeat that part.
No. Yes.
So it's not just the supply of cables. There are also electronics and other active and passive elements that are involved. So the package values or the cable supply percentage might vary a little bit depending upon the concentration of other elements in the whole package. That's about it.
Got it. Got it. And sir, if you could just comment on the capex for FY 25, 26 and 27.
So in my remarks, I had said that the major capex plans that we had announced about a year ago was on expanding capacity on the optic fiber cable side. Number one was we were putting up a preform plant, and a preform is the glass from which fiber is drawn. So that in phase one, we were putting up a plant to generate approximately 100 metric tons of glass, which would equal to around 4 million kilometers of fiber. That plant, the equipment is here. Commissioning is expected to start in the next two weeks or so. We are expecting the engineers from the manufacturer anytime now. And we expect that phase one commissioning would be over by quarter four, and initial production would start from there. The second part of this expansion was to increase the fiber draw capacity. Currently we have 4 million kilometers capacity, increase that to 8 million in two stages, stage 1 up to 6 million and stage 2 later on to 8 million. For stage 1, the orders have been placed and the equipment is expected sometime in the second quarter next year. Once that happens, the installation commissioning of that will start. The third part of the same business is to increase the cabling capacity. Currently, we have capacity to cable 8 million kilometers, to take it up to 10. The building is ready, so we were waiting for clarity on the BSNL tenders, and soon we'll have to decide whether current capacity is sufficient to meet that, or do we need to increase the cabling capacity. Like I said, the building is already ready. The equipment lead time is about 7 to 8 months. So we can take a call on that once the ordering situation becomes clearer. So this is on the optic fibers business. Next to that, we had announced a program on setting up an e-beam facility with two e-beam accelerators, one at 1 MeV and the second one at 1.5 MeV. Both the machines are installed, commissioned, and ready for commercial use. You have the choice of either selling your product with the BIS label or not. We've opted for using the BIS label, so our BIS testing has all happened. We are expecting the certification anytime now. Once that is done, then we can launch it as a ISI marked product. So that should happen anytime now. The third large spend was on adding to our auto cable capacity at our Uttaranchal plant. There the plan was to double the existing capacity at that plant. Machines have arrived, they have been installed, testing is going on, so we expect that to be commissioned by end of December. So these were the major items. All told, approximately 500 crores was to be spent on all these programs. Last fiscal we spent about 160, I think. Bulk of the balance would be spent in the current fiscal with a small overflow into the next year. Beyond that, we will have to see now if we talked about wire demand, where it is it expected to grow, is it expected to be stable, what. So that is something that we are looking at, and depending on that, we will take a call. And if necessary, go ahead with those.
So is it fair to say that FY26, the capex could be, say 100 to 200 crores?
Yeah, it's possible.
Understood. Great, sir. This is very helpful. I fall back in the queue. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, clear.
So I just have one question. What is the revenue or volume guidance for this year?
Look, last year we did 5,000, just over 5,000 crores. Barring, our numbers are always impacted by what happens on the commodity side. So if copper remains steady, then that number can be towards the 6,000 crore number. But if it keeps zigzagging, then it's a little difficult to predict. So at the moment, 6 months, we are at 2,600, I think. Yeah. Typically, quarter three and quarter four are about 60% plus of the year's numbers. So that could be an indicator for you.
And so can we expect the margins to be around 10%?
Yeah, like I said, the second quarter margins were low, but I think we should track back to normalcy in the coming quarters.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Durana Praveen Sahai from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Hope I am audible.
Yeah,
there's a lot of
AD
sound coming from the line.
Now I am audible.
Yes, better. Thank you.
Yeah. So my first question is just on the communication cable, and that's a clarification. As your number suggests, it's a 2-2.5% of a margin business. And as you had also highlighted, it's because of a low utilization, this kind of a margin you have. So once the utilization will improve from here, do you see this margin profile to improve? And if it's improved, how much you can reach in this business?
If you go back a couple of years, we were averaging about 7-8% in margins from this business. So that is something that is definitely doable. We've done it for several years in the past, so there's no reason why we should not be able to do it again. That's number one. Number two, some of the money that we're spending on capex will also help us in increasing our margins, because we will be backward integrating in terms of our raw material, which means today what we are buying from somebody else, and obviously that someone else has got some margin when he sells it to us, that will be something that we will capture in our books. And we could use it in two manners. Either it helps us to be more competitive in our end pricing towards our end customers, or we could still retain it and increase the margin. So the margin increase could come either by keeping everything with ourselves or by increasing volume, and therefore volume brings in more margins.
And second question related to that, sir, once you bid for a certain pricing for this project, how the behavior of the the raw material price pass on in such kind of a project?
No, so where we bid on a long gestation project, typically we try and build a price variation class into that, and see what are the major items affecting it, and then that variation class then helps us to maintain stability. There are a few cases, of course, where, for example, government contracts, the prices are required to be firm for a certain period of time. There, once we get the order, we back-to-back freeze the prices with our suppliers.
And usually life span of the any project, especially in the BharatNet?
Well, in BharatNet kind of a project, then we will, this particular thing says the main installation has to be completed in 3 years. So that's the lifespan. And so when we, let's say I am supplying cable to one of the bid winners, we will have to agree on our purchase, sales contracts that there will be a price variation included so that we are protected.
Okay, and lastly, related to this, sir, if you are a backward integrated in terms of optical fiber manufacturer as well, is there any margin difference versus just a cable supply, optical fiber cable, versus you are also manufacturing optical fiber? So is there a material difference in that, or it's just the same?
In the normal course, there would be. In the normal course, there would be. Because fiber, depending on the design, can constitute anywhere up to 50% of the cost of the cable. In where the fiber count is very small, it may not be that high, but typically the kind of designs that let's say BSNL sources, which is 48 or 96 fiber cables, there of course there would be a the cost of the fiber would make a difference. However, the last 2 years have been slightly different because of global supply scenarios, the unused capacity in China reflecting on price trends everywhere. What used to be $4.5 per kilometer is now about 2.8. So, but I don't think this glut is going to last very long. When the requirements for 5G connectivity and other applications increase, I think fiber prices will move upwards again.
And which states you are covering in this?
I don't recall offhand where bids our partner has won. But it's one of those 16. But this is not just the one opportunity. Besides this, there are 7 to 8 more states whose DPRs are currently under evaluation, and they are likely to come out with tenders in the next 3 to 6 months. Not all of them together, but over the period of next 3 to 6 months. And some of them are large states. So there you have Gujarat, you've got Maharashtra, you have Karnataka, you've got AP, all these people coming in line behind.
And your utilization currently in this segment right now?
Right now, at the moment, as we speak, the utilization is high because we are one of the largest suppliers to Bharti. Their requirement is keeping us full for almost 60% of the capacity.
Thank you for answering my question, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mukesh Patel, individual investor. Please go ahead.
About FMCG business, for H1, what is the number?
Sorry, I didn't get your question.
For FMCG business...
About FMCG business, what is your question?
H1 number.
H1 number?
Yeah.
So we are about 128 crores at the end of H1 against 100 last year. So volumes are, we are doing very well in volumes as far as lighting is concerned, as far as switches and switchgears are concerned. Where we still need to improve is on the fans and water heater, that category. Conduits are doing very well. So I think, like I mentioned at the beginning of the conference, we are on track to be very close to the 300 crore mark this year, which would be almost a 40% jump from last year. Also, like I said, I've said this in the past also, at 250, 260, we should be breaking even. And I think that position still stands. The only other point that I would like to add there is, while volumes are improving in lighting, price erosion has been fairly strong in the lighting segment. So it's a race to be on top of that.
And besides on volume growth, have you mentioned about what was the volume growth for our wire business during this quarter?
No, your voice is again getting distorted. On volume growth on which product?
What was the volume growth for the wire and cable business for this quarter?
That volume growth overall is about 2%.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. On behalf of Finolex Cables Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.